Since you was young, you took up the hunters. The guy, Hugh Champo, was young, you took the hunters. What the hell are you doing?
And that has to be one of my all-time favourite ways of opening an album. I always did like that. Well, this is obviously the part where I waffle away to my heart's content with a captive audience that can't run away. Well, you could switch me off, couldn't you? This is Great Spirit, one of my favourite albums from my past. And the very first Native American Indian album I ever recorded. The whole reason the album came about, it kind of sounds odd now, but going back to the time when this was recorded, I don't believe there were any Native American Indian albums out in the sort of instrumental New Age market. That was either the first or one of the first. And it came about for me, why I wanted to do it was because of the Kevin Costner film, The Dances with Wolves. Dances with Wolves had just come out at the cinema, and I think I picked it up. I missed it at the cinema, but I picked it up on video, rented it, and then bought it immediately because I was just so blown away, like many people were, by that movie. Because it showed the Indian people, the Native American people, as real people. People that had a sense of humour, that teased each other, that laughed, you know, that had families and everything. They weren't just people running around going, whoop, 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 me em, fight em, me kill em, cowboy. All that went out the window, you know, all that 1950s sort of image of what the Indians were. Cinematic style of that film that really did depict the Sioux natives and their lifestyle and their fears of what was about to happen to them, and it really brought home the whole feel of who they were and their traditions and as a people. And I've always had this great affinity and respect for the Native American people. And so it was natural it was going to come out at some point, and I think the Dances with Wolves film was the catalyst. It triggered me, as it triggered a lot of people into feeling more sensitive and towards that history and their traditions and as people and as a culture. And I just wanted to express all that. And that opening bit of vocal, beginning, I'm always asked, what's he saying? What's he saying? What does he say? So I'm going to tell you now. The answer is... So that's what he was saying. Oh, seriously, I think what he was saying was... this isn't the exact translation, but it's very close to what he's saying. Where there is one man, more are many. That's wrong. That's wrong. Good old name. Get it right. Of course you get it right, you know. None of this rubbish. I think it was something along the lines of, where there is one man, many more men are likely to follow. Which is simply an observation that they knew what was coming, that they would be overwhelmed, but all they could do was at least attempt to defend themselves. I put that there because, well, to confuse you really, then you'd have to ask, what was he saying? Ah, dear. I put it there to give the album authenticity. It lended a weight to the album. Obviously, because it was the very first sound that you heard, it somehow gave an air of importance. You know, why is the first thing... It was like, you know, subliminal. On some level, you may have thought, why are we hearing a voice? It was the very first sound that we hear. Someone is telling us something. And that gave it an edge that I really liked. I was very technically limited with what I could do in the studio. The studio was in its sort of embryonic early years, which in a way forces a discipline for you to be very creative anyway, so I have no regrets. And the studio of that era produced some wonderful albums because they had to be kept simple. The entire percussion through the whole album is simply a bass drum and a Native American hand drum that I would simply beat out a very basic rhythm on and hang the whole album on top of that. And most of the strumming of guitars and things you hear is very often actually a mandolin instead of the way you would think of a mandolin, of the way it would ring. Like in Greece, you might expect that sort of ringing where they play one note and it just goes, you know, they just strum it away. I would tend to play a mandolin, I'd retune it like a guitar, and I would play like harmonic chords and strum it. So often in the right speaker where you hear a very high metallic guitar, it's not a guitar, it's a mandolin. Not Native American at all, but it fitted. And all the flutes that you hear are generally bamboo wooden flutes, authentic flutes, or flutes from Japan and that had the same sort of style and tone. Now listening to Druid, and Druid I owe my entire career to. It's one of those milestone albums. It was released in 1990, and I was signed on by the recording company in something like late 1986, and between 86 and sort of 89. The new age is an industry, and instrumental music related to it. It was all about pacifying the audience. It was all about relaxation. And it seemed to be hitting this ceiling. It was like there was this formula set in concrete that you had to be very, very, very relaxing, very, very peaceful, very calm and and that was it. And all the titles were very flowery and soothing, and all the covers were very, very mild and gentle, and that's fine. But you, as an artist, like myself, I wanted to express different things, and I felt I was sort of bumping my head on this ceiling and beginning to go crazy. I felt that there was so much more that could be said and done and expressed. What happened is I was sort of looking for something I could convince the recording label, of the management of the time, to just let me do something different. Let's experiment here. Let's break out, break the mold. Because I felt that there was just as much value in rhythmically inspiring someone, motivating someone by the power of sound, the power and the impact of inspiring someone, just to raise someone right up and elate someone, is what I wanted to do. But of course I couldn't, and they wouldn't let me. It sounds crazy now, but that's what it was like in sort of 1989. And I'd been looking for all these different ideas of what I could do. And I had been reading various local pamphlets on my home county of Cornwall about the Druids and all the ancient sites and ley lines and the Celts and things like that. It was all in my head. And so Wendy and I, we've travelled around in the car. We've visited a lot of these standing stones on, Bodmin Moor and so on. And I thought, I'd just love to record something about that. Something mystical. And something that had a greater sort of depth to it. Wouldn't that be great? And I knew that the management of the company was coming down to visit me in a few weeks. So what I did is I recorded two tracks. One was deeply, incredibly soft and relaxing. It was all about dolphins. It was sort of dolphin meditation or something. And it had this just flowing chords and everything that I thought that they wanted at the time and what the company was about at the time. And then I recorded this extra track, which was Nine Maidens, the opening track of Druid. And it had this pounding drum as it opens, this boom, doomf, 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 boom. And it, it really belts out bass and everything. It sounds sort of, fairly mild by today's standards, but then it was a bit like Van Halen coming out, I thought, well, I'll try it. So the management came in and visited me. And into the studio they came, and I played them the dolphin track, and they looked completely bored. And then I put this Druid track on, this Nine Maidens track, and I thought, well, I've also got this, just bear with me and listen to it see what you think. I thought, there's no way they're going to go for this, but I've got to play it. And they were absolutely beside themselves. They asked, I think it got played something like 7 or 8 times in a row. They kept asking me to put it back on. They were just blown away. Bless them. They were blown away with it, and they could see its potential. And I felt as though I had knocked this ceiling out. I knocked a hole in the ceiling within the limitation of what the New Age was about at that time. And I thought, this is it. The door is open. I found that if I can connect mysticism and things I believe in and cultures and spirituality and give them a rhythm and a depth and a meaning, and if I keep myself sincere to myself, then I can express anything I please, and the audience will understand. And it just blew the whole genre out in the UK. And everyone was playing Druid. It was like, there were teenagers and students. And it was going around colleges and, was on the radio, and it caused such an appeal. It was in shops all over the place, and it was like overnight I'd hit this nerve in people. One of the things I like about Druid is the fact that the tracks are all based on real places that are scattered throughout Cornwall. You can actually use Druid as a road map, if you like. You can go around and visit all those places. Nine Maidens and Mermaid Rock, they've all got these folklore stories attached to them that I used to base the music on and give the mystical feel. I was simply expressing the folklore stories attached to those local sites. Druid is also one of the few times where I've done some vocal work. And it was the first album I've done. No, that's not true. I did some... My memory is failing. I did a bit of vocal work actually on Angel's Sleep, didn't I? And In the Stillness. But that was like background vocals, whereas the opening track on Druid is, you know, it has words, lyrics to it. It's a sort of chant. And what I was saying within the lyrics was trying to give the impression and the illusion of the legend. I think the story goes that there were nine maidens that were dancing in a circle, expressing their joy of spring and being euphoric and so far. I think they angered a local giant or a witch, and they got turned into stone. I mean, now you just get a traffic ticket, don't you? I mean, it was a bit harsh in those days to get turned stone. I mean, it's still there. I mean, that's a bit much, isn't it, really? And so that's how both Druid and Great Spirit came about, and the era that they came from.